actually someone that I met when I first moved to Newcastle through Greg. I think there'd been some connection on Field. We all matched with each other. Sindra had a partner back then that I matched with. I believe there was this kind of like weird web of matching on dating apps, I think. But I feel like maybe you and Greg had known of each other before we moved here or something. And it was like, we got to Newcastle and I was like, I knew of these people that were non-monogamous. And I was like, okay, that's cool. There's hope for Newcastle. But Sindra does coaching, works with a lot of couples, does a lot of stuff around, you know, just relationships in general, as well as sex stuff, and has a great Instagram. So go and follow her at Sindra Banks on Insta. But we're actually specifically going to be talking about girl-on-girl action. And just to give people a little bit of background, tell me about your relationships and your sexuality.
Well, yeah, first, thank you for having me. It's so good to be here. I'm really excited to talk about this today because it's one of my favorite things to talk about. I have a big pussy energy sign in the background of my office. So this is like my jam.
Totally. I have a big clit energy at home sign, like a massive sign. It totally reminded me of that. But I ordered it thinking it was like a flag size, and it's like, it would take up the entire wall of my bedroom. I accidentally ordered like massive one, which I was like, well, it's really big clit energy,
well,
I guess.
It's really big. Yeah. I love that. It's so good. Yeah. So I came out and I actually don't love using that term and, you know, whatever, but at the time that I did come out, it was coming out when I was 23, and I was really confused because I was like, I fell in love with a woman. I had never really been with women, and just, I was friends with this person. Then I fell in love and I was like, whoa, I didn't even know about this side of me. And this is going to date me quite a lot. I am relatively old. So I went to the library, Kate, and I was like, looking up like lesbian, I borrowed a book from the library. It was like lesbian sex because I had no idea.
Nice.
Like legitimately zero clue. So that's kind of where I started my journey. And from then I actually married a woman. We were married for 5 years. So that was a monogamous relationship, 7.5 year relationship. And then coming out of that, I was like, oh, okay, I still have this strong desire for men and I want to be able to explore that as well as having this connection with women because I love being in a relationship with women. It really feels good for me and it feels really aligned. So I wanted to have everything. And I was like, oh, there is actually a way that I can have everything. It's just like open relating, right? And then so I went on this full mad discovery, research, listening to all the podcasts, reading all the books, and really wanted to manifest a relationship that was open to being non-monogamous. And then I met my ex-husband, and you know, when I first talked to him about being open, he was like, that's really confronting, like I'm not really sure. And then he thought about it and came back to me and he's like, yeah, let's do it. So yeah, that was kind of where my open relating journey started, I guess, like 5 or 6 years ago. And it kind of formed into poly, which again, like at the start of that relationship, I was like, oh, I'm not going to do poly. Like, I don't think I could love two people at the one time. And it's not really for me. I don't want to get into that level of relating. And then again, I fell in love with a woman. So here we are today. I live with that woman. I don't have a husband anymore. However, my partner and I are still super open. And I had a boyfriend this year as well. And I needed a bit of a break from relationships. But I'm ready to date again. So that's exciting.
Oh, that is exciting. Mm. So do you pursue men or women when you're dating, like online dating or hookups? Or is there like a direction you go in?
Yeah, so because my primary partner, you know, we live together and everything, is a woman, I'm probably not interested in another relationship with a woman. It's a lot, like having one relationship with a woman. So I think I feel very complete in that side of things. So for dating, like if I was looking for another relationship, I probably would be looking for penis owner, I mean, However, you know, never say never. That's one thing I've learned from, like,
that's what I was going to say. I was like, look, Sandra, I don't know if you can really map this out.
Honestly, after, you know, doing the poly thing and the way things have kind of turned out, I'm like, you really just can't say this is never going to happen because you just don't know.
Yeah. And I guess it's, you know, maybe even assuming like, oh, no, that probably won't happen. Or maybe I'm not that kind of person. Greg and I have definitely had conversations around polyamory and he is very much like, oh, I don't think that's for me. And I'm like, oh, well, I think you're, I hate to bring it to you, but I feel like it's probably going to at some point happen. But okay, cool. So talk to me about, like, obviously you went to the library and got a book out about lesbian sex, which, do you know what? I think everybody's done a version of that at some point in their life, right? Trying to figure out about sex. I remember getting an ebook online and I don't know how I found it. I must've just been Googling and it was like blowjob tips and it was Jack's blowjob tips. And there was some good stuff in there. I mean, it was like, he was a bit of a douchebag, but that was his shtick, you know, like it was his thing. And he had like this, you know, porn star contributing and it was interesting and it was fun. And it was something I learned from. So when you started interacting with women, what was the sex like? Like, what were you doing? What were the mistakes? And then what does it look like now?
Okay. So I distinctly remember the first time that I went down on my girlfriend at the time, and it was at my parents' house because I was living, because I was still living at home. And I remember she had pubic hair and I haven't for a very long time. And I was so nervous. I was like sweating. And I was like, I kind of got down there and I was just like, oh my God, there is like a lot of like hair that's covering. I can't really see what I'm doing. And she had been with women pretty much exclusively. So I was just like, okay, you have to kind of give me some feedback here because I legitimately have no idea what I was doing.
Did she know that it was the first time?
Yeah, she did. She did. So she was pretty good and I was not good. I was not good. So she actually kind of taught me a whole bunch of things. Like, you know, we tried to do scissoring a bunch of times. Like, you know, she kind of gave me a pretty good introduction into the whole vulva play arena. However, I never felt confident and I wasn't mature enough to be asking for feedback and having open conversations about what I wanted in that relationship. You know, she didn't like penetration. I love penetration. Mm-hmm. So it was just, I never really felt fulfilled in that area. And it was just kind of hard. It ended up being just, yeah, relatively challenging and not super fulfilling for me. So that definitely evolved over time and I've gotten better at, you know, asking for what I want and giving feedback and asking them for feedback. Like I was so scared, you know, I was like, I don't want to hear like that I'm not doing a good job. So yeah, that was just such an evolution over time. And even my ex-wife, you know, we bought the toys, like we kind of moved on to the next stage of like buying the toys. But then I was so scared to talk about how to use them and having these, you know, conversations, like such vanilla sex times. And I definitely had these desires of wanting these other things and wanting to try things and kinky things and all kinds of stuff, right? But I just felt, you know, we're not really taught about how to talk about sex. Like, this is why I do what I do and, like, why you have this podcast too, right? It's like there's no education around this stuff unless you go and seek it out.
It's funny. It becomes the barrier, right? Like, it's not the sex. Absolutely. It's actually our ability to shamelessly talk about it and ask for what we want. And it's like if you don't get to that point, it holds everything else back.
Absolutely. So you know, fast forwarding quite a few years, the sex that I'm having with women now is just so different because there's communication, let's talk about boundaries, desires, you know, and then like constant feedback and I'm asking for feedback and I'm giving feedback and we're trying all these other things that I've only ever dreamt about trying, you know, with women. And now when I go to, you know, sex parties or, I don't know, hook up with random women and they are a little bit less experience, I'm like, it's cool. I'll show you. Like, this is how
take my hand.
Strap-on works. This is how a strap-on works. And like, would you like me to try it on you? And then you can see how it feels. And so it's kind of cool to be able to, you know, do that sometimes in those spaces. And it's cool that, you know, in my current relationship, we're still kind of discovering things and trying things. And sex just feels like such a different, you know, intention now. Before it was just like, do the thing, get to the thing, you know, get to the orgasm. And now it's like, cool, let's try this, let's try that. You know, sometimes it's to get to the thing, sometimes it's just to try all this weird shit that I have always wanted to try.
That's it. So my first experience with a girl was, it was at both of our first time, and we were pretty much the same age, and we're still friends. She's married with a baby now, and like, you know, like, we've gone, she's a footy player, and we've gone and like watched her footy games and met her current partner. It's just like this funny, you know, it becomes, funnily enough, the girls that I've hooked up with have become friends, whereas most of the guys I've hooked up with don't. They move on, and you don't talk to them, and you don't really connect. It's so interesting to experience the connection that you can get with girls that are open to that and open with their sexuality, versus like hookups with guys. It's just a very different thing, which I really struggle with. I'm finding it very frustrating, especially at the moment. But anyway, my first interaction, we like, she was actually pretty like on board with just like going with it, wasn't scared, wasn't resistant, wasn't shy. And that made a big difference, because I wasn't shy either. I was like, hey, I'm okay to like just around and see what happens. Now, I don't distinctly remember much about it though. Like, I don't know. I remember she used a toy. I didn't orgasm. Like, I remember that being like I was too scared. I didn't want to like, you know, turn too much attention on me. So I kind of held back a little bit. So that was very just an experimental night. But it was good, because she felt like we had the same energy. And so it was easy to kind of go through the motions. And there was a little bit of talking, but not heaps, because, you know, we're both like, we don't know what to talk about. So, there might have been like, you know, do you want this or do you want that? Or come here and do this. Like, you know, so there might have been a little bit of direction, but I think that might have been it. And then the other interactions I had, there were some more threesomes. A lot of them were girls that were very new to it. So like, a lot of them wouldn't necessarily fully participate in playing with me, but I would play with them. So there was a lot of that, and especially in the early on with me and Greg. And then I went to sex parties and would interact with girls who'd been with a lot of girls. And then in that, like in the sex party environment, it feels a little bit more frantic and maybe a little bit more rough as well. And so then I had this experience of like, oh, girls want to be rough and they want to be like more aggressive, but it actually just felt really masculine. And I was like, and what happened for me is I was like, oh, I started to replicate and mimic and emulate that energy. And so then I started to get really masculine, and I was like finger banging people and trying to make girls squirt and like, doing all these things, and the speed, like it was so fast, like everything, it was just like straight to the clit, straight to fingers, straight to trying to squirt, you know, it was like, get to the end goal, trying to get to that climax. There was no build up to it though. So like I was doing a lot of that. And then I had this wild experience, and it was at a party. It was OSS. So I'd gone to OSS a handful of times. So I'd had that experience of like quite masculine energy, a lot of hard, fast kind of play. And then this girl, she was actually like hopping off to leave the bed as Greg and I were coming in. And we were like, oh, do you want to stay and play? She was like, yeah, sure. And Greg and her were kind of like chatting, and he was like, can I touch you? Like, what would you like from me? She's like, I don't want to interact with you, but I'll play with Kate. And like, we kind of had the same exchange of like, what's okay, what's not okay. And she's like, cool, I'm happy with you to play. There were a few other boundaries, but it was like her and I were interacting and Greg and I were interacting, but those two weren't. And the whole night just slowed down. She was super slow and super soft, and it was so luxurious. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay, this is what's possible. And it was just like a lot of just, I don't even remember her really like specifically playing with like my clit or fingers or penetration. It was just like a lot of like stroking breasts and slowly, like torture. slowly working down and like lower belly, like inner thighs, and just like this, like touching. And it was like borderline too ticklish, but it was really amazing. And she was kissing, and she was a really good kisser. So it was like, it felt really sensual, and just the environment of being really fast and aggressive to that. I was like, oh, so that was when I was like, you know what? I don't think all women want it rough and hard, and I need to start to assess that and do things differently. And so that really, really drastically changed how I play with women now. And I really try to not get carried away in that, like, oh, go hard and fast, and this is exciting. I want them to be like moaning and like, you know, making all the noises. And it's like, hang on, give them an experience, like give them an experience. So like, for people that, you know, have been in my in my shoes, what would you say to women who are going to play with other women for the first time? Like, what would you, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, I think sometimes what people think they need is like, you know, the book on sex or like the blowjobs tips thing. It's like, sometimes it's actually more about like, what do you want them to feel? And what does that experience play out to look like? So maybe some of your advice is super specific, tangible stuff, but maybe it is some more intangible stuff. How would you guide people?
Yeah, it's such an interesting question, because I guess it just really depends on, yeah, like the environment and what they're comfortable with and that. But one of the things that I really love about playing with women is that there's no defined thing that you have to do. You know, like if you're fucking a penis owner, you're putting the thing in the thing, generally speaking, you know. You're putting something in something generally, you know, and with women, there's a whole spectrum that you can play in. So whilst most of us love clip play, you know, there's so many other areas and so many other things that you can do. Like, as you said, kissing can be a whole session. Nipple play, like breast play, people like that and they have breasts, you know, that can be a whole session. Even like exploring like butt play, there's so many avenues that you can kind of play in. And as you said, you can get carried away being like, oh, I've got to like make a cum multiple times, or, oh, I've got to like get my fingers in there and get squirting and got to do all this stuff. But if you just actually go with the feel and keep that communication open, it can just kind of play out exactly as it has to be. And that's the amazing thing with women, is that you can go slower, and generally slower is sexier, like slower is more pleasurable. So really kind of being open to this whole broad spectrum of what you can do when what's possible. I always think, I mean, as we've said, it's best to have a conversation first. And this is the thing though, right? A lot of women don't know what they like and they don't know what they want, because they've been with like penis owners who just take the lead and they just do what they want. And then women are like, I don't really know what I want. I don't really know what I like. So it's almost like if you are first getting into this whole thing, playing with women, experiment, try things, get feedback, you know, try a soft touch, ask them how that feels, try a harder touch, ask them how that feels. I know it sounds like a lot of conversation, but you can make that hot and you can make it all like kind of woven into the experience. So I think it's really important to, you know, have these conversations and be open about also like your level of experience, because most of us who have been playing with women for a long time, I'm more than happy to show you things or to do things. However, just let the other person know, talk about it. It's okay. Like, no one expects you to be some kind of vulva wizard or witch. Like, it's, you know, it's
just
really
master
fine.
Of the vulva,
right? Like, it's really okay. So just be open and honest about where you're at and what your level of experience is. And if you know what you like, be open about that. If you don't, that's okay. And be like, hey, I don't really know what I like. You know, can we try this? I'm interested in this. Can we do this? And also knowing that, you know, I do vulva mapping as part of my work. There's so many areas of a vulva that are pleasurable other than just the clit and like the G-spot, right? So if you're curious about playing with women, something that I really recommend is, if you haven't already, look at your vulva in the mirror and start to get familiar with the anatomy and different parts of your vulva, because there's so much more going on than just those like general pleasure spots, right? There's, you know, other little spots on the inside that you can start to discover with your own fingers and by looking in the mirror. And being more familiar with your own vulva means that, you know, every vulva is different. But then when you go to someone else's vulva, you're like, oh, cool. You know, I know that for me, like outer labia pleasure feels really nice. So I'm going to try that. Or I know for me, like my G-spot's really sensitive. So I'm going to try that. And, you know, really playing with that as well, like getting educated and getting comfortable. So when you do see another vulva, you're like, okay, cool. Like I vaguely know where things are on me. So I'll test and I'll try and I'll get the feedback about where things are on someone else. There's a really good book called She Comes First. Have you read it?
Yeah. Have I read? Yeah. No, I've read Come As You Are. I haven't read She Comes First. Same thing with Becoming Clitorate. I've read parts of it.
Yeah. So She Comes First is a bit of an instruction manual on vulva play. It's written by a man, but it's really good. And it has some like really good anatomical pictures in there and some really cool techniques that you can try. To be honest, my ex was like, oh, I've read this book. It's so good. And then he went down on me and I was like, whoa, I have to read this book.
That's good feedback.
I'm like, I know everything there is to know about going down in vulvas. I've been going down in vulvas for like 10 years, you know? And then I was like, oh no, I need to read the book. So that book is really, really good as well if you kind of wanted to get a little bit more, you know, information. Some people like to learn by reading. So that's a really good resource too.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm going to go back to what you were saying earlier about we are probably, if you've been in heterosexual relationships, sexually women tend to be more passive. They tend to be maybe more sub and men will kind of take control and lead the way. And I think that, you know, there's probably other people that have had different experiences, but I know that my experiences were like, I could just kind of lay back and like let them do what they wanted. And you know what you were saying before, it's like, I didn't necessarily know what I wanted or needed to orgasm with a partner for a really long time. So I would often be there just kind of like going with the flow, because I wouldn't necessarily be desperate to try to orgasm because I knew it was just going to be tricky and clunky and hard and I didn't really care for it. I just wanted the experience. So I would kind of maybe put myself second in a way that was, you know, potentially not a good thing. But
yeah.
And, you know, I just, in the nature of like some of that sex that you have when you were young, it was like, ah, fuck, we don't know what we're doing. So the passive to becoming more active thing is actually quite a big transition, I think, for a lot of women. And I've had experiences with women who are really inexperienced where I'm like, I'm trying to get them to speak up and trying to talk to them and just trying to get girls to be verbal in sex is actually quite a big thing. So I think there's probably a lot of steps that anyone could take that, you know, want to play with different people or play, just change up their sex life. Like just getting good at being more verbal in the moment is actually a really big, it's like just like learning to talk when you're also giving or receiving pleasure, or learning to what you guys are saying with like being a bit more adventurous and playing with different things and trying other stuff out. It's like a big part of the lesson that we all have to get around is the just talking about things in the moment and then also outside of the bedroom and having those conversations before or after or whatever. So I think the learning to go from being a bit more passive and being conscious of whether you are passive or not to being a little bit more engaged and participating. And you don't have to take charge and you don't have to be dominant all of a sudden, but I think you have to find a bit of a voice. You have to be a bit of an advocate for doing some of the stuff that you want to do and knowing that doing that is also pleasurable for your partner. I think for a long time I was like, I feel like I'm taking too long and it's annoying for them. Or I feel like I don't want to say something that upsets them. Or I feel like I don't want to give them feedback, you know? And it's like, I felt worried about them and I'm like, no. If you're with the right kind of person, that should be welcomed. And I had this conversation with Greg. I'm like, how much do you like feedback, you know, from me or other people? And he's like, oh, if people give me a list of stuff they like, I'm like, oh, thank you. This is great. This is awesome. You've just given me a fucking to-do list. And like, I can do all that stuff that you like. That's brilliant. So it's like, I think people want it and people want to have you enjoy pleasure. Like, you know, I think people want to have good sex at the end of the day.
Yeah. Absolutely. I always say to my clients, you know, you want to be creating a roadmap to your pleasure for yourself, and also so you can be like to your partner, like, hey, here's what is going to feel good. I think, you know, I'm not really sure, but this is what I think is going to make me feel good. Let's try it and see what happens, you know. And it's so hot when you have your partner be like, oh my God, that was so good. Or like, no, actually try this instead. And then they start making noise and you're like, oh, sweet. Tell me more, you know, tell me more. Like, I want to be told. And definitely like what you touched on there, like at first, when I first started doing this, right, I would get a bit offended, you know, like I remember like when I first started dating Lou and she, you know, she said something to me and I was like, oh, am I doing this wrong? Like, am I not good at this? Like, what is going on? And she's like, no, I just like this instead. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, and I kind of checked my ego a little bit and I was like, no, like you can learn and like you want to pleasure the other person, right? So sometimes it's just like being okay with also feeling like, oh God, that was like a little bit hard to hear or like that was a bit hard to say. However, the intention of intimacy, right, is to connect, is to experience pleasure and give pleasure and receive pleasure and all those things. So I think sometimes you do need to check yourself a little bit and be like, it's okay. Like,
yeah,
there's so much shame, I know, for my clients, like constantly that comes up, and, you know, shame with asking for what you want, shame with talking about sex. So there is a lot to override to get to this point. But if people are listening and they're like, oh my God, that sounds so far from where I'm at, just start really small, you know, just start by asking for what you want at the cafe. Like if someone gives you the wrong order or you didn't get what you want or you want something a little bit extra, start like small, start in your day-to-day life and build up that confidence to be able to then step into the bedroom and be like, cool, this is what I want. Like we can all kind of get a little bit better about that. We're all a bit people-pleaser-ish sometimes, especially in the bedroom, right? Because I don't know about you, Kay, but like growing up with the awful sex education, quote unquote, that was available at school, I thought that men just did what they wanted and you just kind of laid there and just, you just didn't say anything, right? So it's really like this whole concept of asking for what you want and talking and giving feedback is really like fucking the whole societal norm around it as well.
Yeah. It's interesting what you say about doing it outside of the bedroom, because it really is. It's like, just be vulnerable, take a little risk. And I think, you know, it is something that you can do in day-to-day things. It's like just something small, like if you're hanging out with someone, asking a slightly more personal question than maybe what you'd usually ask. Like, you know, just we all think the things, but we often just like bypass questions that we feel like would be prying or going too deep. And it's like, no, man, like go there. I think that's a nice way to experience the discomfort, but the connection that comes from it when you can get people to open up or you feel like you've, you know, just put yourself out there a little bit. Because it is, it's just like, be vulnerable. It's okay. It's scary. Just be vulnerable. It's ironic, right? Like when you're naked in front of someone, it's hard to be vulnerable.
Right? It's insane. Like one of the other things that I wanted to say as well is like, don't be afraid to stop during intimacy and especially with women and be like, have a bit of a conversation or stop and change the flow or stop and change the pace. Or especially, this is something that I've been working through, or, you know, originally, is like stopping and saying, whoa, I got really in my head then. So can we change positions? Can we do something else?
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. The I'm really in my head right now has come up many times for Greg and I, where we're just like, hey, like I'm really in my head right now. And it's like, okay, let's just change. Let's just do something else.
Yeah. So especially when you, I think when you first start going down on women and you're either the giver or the receiver, there's a lot of head noise. There's a lot of head noise there, especially if you are in a threesome situation and there might be some, you know, perceived pressure to perform, right? Or perceived pressure if you're at the sex club to look a certain way or to look hot while you're doing it and to get a certain result. So I think being able to call out when you do that head noise does kind of become overwhelming and stop and change. And like, that's okay. It happens to all of us. However, actually owning it, being like, yep, I need to switch or I need to do something else is really, really important. And it really feels empowering when you do it as well.
Yeah. And I think that's possibly the perks of being with other women is like you, I always feel more comfortable with women. Like I, and even my more dominant side, more assertive side can come out with women, which is super interesting because I'm not like that with men. I'm really trying hard to be like that with men, but I feel a lot of different pressure and a lot of different things. But with women, I've always just felt like just more relaxed. And it's not that I'm not trying to do the right thing or trying to please them, but there's something inherent about like, we're girls, like we've got a little sisterhood, like there's some kind of connection there that I feel like I'm not trying as hard to impress. I'm not desperate. You know, it just takes, for me, it has taken that away. And so I think one of the perks of being with other women, like I said, is I've kind of had these really beautiful friendships come out of it. And then I have learned how to communicate with women. And then actually one of the things that I really enjoyed as someone who struggled with orgasms with partners is watching other women with their partners also having different things around orgasm and like taking a while or needing toys or asking for certain things and, you know, getting a little insight into a very intimate connection. That is one thing I've really liked about joining other couples is like, oh, you step into their relationship for even if it is just for a night or, you know, you get a drink first and then you go out or you have a couple of different dates with them. But like, oh my God, getting into a relationship where if they are non-monogamous and they are open and they can communicate well, you learn so much. It's such a cool little insight into their world. And I have learned a lot from other women experiencing pleasure in a safe environment. And, you know, I definitely tried to watch porn first.
Yeah.
And I still watch porn. I actually am following, I don't know how, I've gotten into the subreddit that is a page where it's like recommendations for porn for women, but it's not necessarily always porn made by women, or it's not necessarily like, you know, like ethical porn that's a little bit more, I guess, just not mainstream, a little bit more alternative. Yeah. So it's kind of a combination of anything, but it's just women recommending porn that they've liked and why they like it. And so I'm getting all these really interesting porn recommendations. So there's actually still stuff that I'm like, oh, I'm learning some really cool things. There was one scene and it was like this like 5 or 6 big black dudes gangbang on this little like Latina chick. But she was very like, she was talking the whole time and not performing. So she was like, hey, can you do this? Press here. I want you to do this. And I'm going to come. Can you feel that? And it was just so interesting to watch her. Like, she's got like 6 giant cocks around her filming porn in beautiful lingerie in a studio. Like, it wasn't even like a homemade amateur thing. So it was a performance. It was a professional scene.
I love that.
But she was super relaxed and just talking and laughing. And it was like, this is so cool to watch. And I was like,
I love
you can that. Watch that and suddenly feel like you've got permission to ask things or say things or just talk casually and joke. And it was like, it was just super fun to watch. I was like, this is the best gangbang I've ever watched.
Oh my God. I love that. I love that. I'm so chatty in the bedroom. I'm honestly so chatty and I laugh so much. And I'm just like laughing the whole time. Like, I probably can have serious sex. I'm sure I do sometimes, but if it's a threesome or if it's a group scenario, I'm laughing, I'm giggling, I'm chatting, I'm like, you know, having a great time, because that for me, it just takes the pressure off and it makes everyone feel relaxed and comfortable. And we can get so like blinkers on in sex. We're trying to be serious. I'm trying to look hot. We're trying to have an orgasm. And it can become this really like a job almost, like performing. I'm trying to come, then I'm trying to make this person come. And it can, you know, you can get this really overwhelming sense of pressure. And I definitely felt like that when I first started playing with women. You know, I felt this overwhelming sense of pressure. Like, it's my responsibility to make them come. It's my responsibility to make them squirt. And then over time, I've really like release this pressure around orgasm. You know, you can have the best play session ever and no one comes and it's connected and hot and there's like vagina juice everywhere and it's like everyone's sweaty and that could be like the best session, you know. So I really try and, you know, with my clients, like, orgasm is not the goal. Sure, sometimes, you know, you just want to have a quickie or like you just want to have, you get your vibrator out and have an orgasm. Sure, great, enjoy that. However, when playing with others, the less focus you have on having to come or having to make them come, it actually opens up this whole other world of play that becomes fun and fulfilling and connected and spicy and interesting, rather than just having this one track mind of orgasm, 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 orgasm. You take that off the, you know, the goal, and then everyone just relaxes.
Mm.
And especially if you're first getting into playing with women, really recommend doing this, because in that space, that's where you learn. That's where you discover things. That's where, you know, you start to build on your skills and your confidence, is when you just step back a little bit and just have pleasure, have connection, learn and enjoy it, rather than just being so focused on the orgasm.
Yeah, it's like, what's the actual goal? Because the goal, like, orgasm might be a fun cherry on top, but I think the goal is like everybody just enjoys himself and there's pleasure, mutual pleasure, right? And for some people it's like, man, just watching and giving pleasure is my like top-notch experience.
Mm.
For other people, like, I become at OSS super what's the word, not voyeur, the opposite, anyway, I like to put on a show. It's like, I want to say like expressionist, but it's not, there's a term for it. The opposite to voyeur is what I'm gonna
exhibitionist.
Thank you. Exhibitionist. So it's like, you know, sometimes I like to have people watching me, and that's a totally different thing. And it's like, so there's so many things that can come up. So with the playing with yourself to figure out how you might ask other people to play with you, I think it's, you can almost see a version of the rushing to orgasm and just doing what works, because it's like, yep, you know, we know what we want. And it's like, I can just grab my womanizer, it's my go-to, and just use that and watch some porn, and it's like, wham bam, thank you ma'am. But it's like, if I'm actually gonna sit there and like feel pleasure and tease it out, it can look totally different. It's like an external massage that turns into like some inner thigh tickling, that turns into like, just like, I'm super sensitive just at my entrance of my vagina. So like, I feel a lot of good stuff there. Penetration super deep, I'm like, I could take a little bit. Like, it doesn't really do much for me. I like that feeling, but it's because I like the stretching and the tension, or the nerve endings being like, you know, lit up at the entrance of my vagina. So it's like, that's a super sensitive spot for me. For squirting, people that are super aggressive with squirting, I do not respond at all. Like, I don't, not like what you see on porn. Greg can get pretty aggressive. He's the only one that actually, he can get away with it. But most of the time, squirting is actually really light for me. It's really like light internal touch. It's just, you just got to find the right spot and the right angle. And it's like, I can make myself squirt like that. And it's not fucking like, I'm not losing my arm trying to make myself squirt. It's like, yeah, right? Like, you watch some people like trying to make people squirt, and you're like, oh my Jesus Christ. Like, their whole body is being lifted up off the bed. People do that to me, and I'm like, hey, you need to, I'm getting sore. Like, please stop.
Yeah. Calm down.
So I guess then, like, what are some of the ideas? Like, what are some ideas to play with yourself and then have other people play with you? Because I think sometimes, like you said, people don't know what's available to them.
Yeah. Yes. Before that, on porn, all the squirting is fake. So just, if you do watch porn, if you're a regular porn watcher, they just use water. It's like, they just spray out water. It's all fake. So I know a few people that do porn, it's all fake. The squirting's fake.
Lots of strong pelvic floors.
Yep. It's all kind of fake. So never can, you know, when the people are like spraying out, some people do. And a lot of us don't. So I think people get this really crazy ideas from porn. And like you said, you don't have to jackhammer someone's G-spot. You just need to use the right touch. You do need to be firm, but you don't need to kind of break their pelvis. So let's just slow down a little bit. So if people go to my website actually and sign up to my mailing list, there is like a self-pleasure cheat sheet on there. So it gives you ideas of like what to do every single day to expand your self-pleasure. Because like you said, most vulva owners that I speak to and I coach, they're just getting out their trusty vibrator and they're doing their 2 minutes or whatever and they're having an orgasm. And that's okay, and that's fulfills a certain purpose. And I do it sometimes too. It's fine. However, by doing that every single day or like multiple times a day or however long that you do it, you're really training your brain, like you're training your neural pathway to just run the one way. So we're just, okay, so we, to have an orgasm, body knows that I use my vibrator, it's on this setting, and I put it here and I can come. Cool. What we're doing is continuously running that neural pathway, and we're not kind of building any other pathways to have an orgasm. So a lot of the time when people are doing that and then wondering why they're having sex and then they can't have an orgasm is because that they just, their body only knows that one certain way. So the more that we can do other things, you know, all of my clients, I'm like, hey, for the duration of working with me, your vibrator is going like away, like we're going to not use it at all. If you get desperate, if you really need to, like, if you just like, fuck, I just need to come, sure. However, first I want you to like use your hands. I want you to explore. And even bringing in things like simple breath, like it's not even breath work, just actually breathing while you touch yourself. Different stimulation. So like have your eyes closed, have your eyes open. You know, if you normally watch porn, don't watch porn. If you normally don't watch porn, try watching porn or try listening to some erotica. Like I love the Dipsea app for this. It's awesome. And just trying some different stimulus. I remember when I first started studying sexology, one of our practices was for 2 weeks. We had to do self-pleasure every single day for, I think it was like 30 minutes or something. And you couldn't do the same practice twice. So if you lay down, then the next day you had to stand up or you had to crouch over. Or, you know, I remember I filmed myself just for me a bunch of times. Or I don't know, like, what else did I do? Just so many random things. And honestly, it was the most horny I felt in those 2 weeks. I was just like constantly wet. I was just like, oh my God, this is like so much. You know, a lot of the times I wasn't even like touching my genitals. I was just touching my arms or my head, or I was doing sensual eating. You know, I was, there's just so much you can play with, and we really get stuck in this one track. So really my recommendation is like grab that self-pleasure cheat sheet, but as well, just give yourself like a little challenge of doing this every day for the next couple of weeks, and even get your partner to do it as well. You know, penis owners aren't like excluded from this. They also do the same thing most of the time in the same way, in the same position, right? So getting them to do this as well, it just opens up this whole new understanding of your body. And I was really surprised personally, because I do love a bit of hard, not really hard and fast, but like hard and slow, but I do love like that deep penetration. Like I do kind of love that excitement of kind of that harder stuff. And I do love impact play, and I love to be scratched and hit, and like I love that hard stuff. However, when I started doing more self-pleasure, 30 minutes is kind of like a long time, you know? And I'm like, I'm on the clock for my study. So when I did start to slow down, I was like, whoa, there's actually so much in that subtle of, you know, like gentle touch. Like there's so much in that other touch other than your genitals. Like, and I was like, oh, wow, I actually love all the touch. But, you know, it was really interesting because I was like, oh, can you go slow? And actually, the last couple of times that I have played in that kinky space, I'm like, can you get the feather and do that? Because that's actually like a little bit different for me, different than what I would normally go for. So by doing that, I'm like opening up all of my neural pathways. Like I'm creating all these different, you know, avenues to pleasure, and so much more to give my partners now too, right? I'm like, you can do slow, you can do hard, you can do fast, we can do this, because I have trained myself to enjoy pleasure in all different ways.
Yeah, it's almost like it goes from being pussy or penis worship to like just body worship.
just body worship. Yeah. And it's like, it can be a massage, it can be using props, it can be like pussy or penis based or butt or boobs. Like I know something that I've discovered is I'm like, I love having my boobs played with. I've never felt like they were very sensitive before. And just like more recently, just having more time getting into my body, I'm like, oh, I really like that. And it's, I almost am like, there's going to be a day where I come from just nipple play because I'm like, this isn't so good. It's like, and I remember reading Heart of Tantra as well. I read Heart of Tantra and Come As You Are at the same time. And they were really nice to read together because there was kind of two different worlds, but the same, you know, the same thing that I wanted to learn about. And they have, you know, the cycle, and it's like for women, it's like breasts down to pussy. And then for men, it's penis up to mind or heart. So it's like, there's like a cycle. And like, so the pleasure enters through like the breasts or through the top half of the body and comes out through the vagina. So it was like just understanding a little bit of that and getting into some of that stuff for me was like, I just felt really connected where it wasn't, oh, you have boobs and then you have a pussy and you have a clit and you have a butt and I can just access points from you. It was like, no, it's a system. And when you engage the whole system, your pleasure can be spread across the system in a way. I think, you know, the trap of using like something like a womanizer is it is very much like on the clit, stays on the clit, is on the clit the whole time and it doesn't move. And I know now with Greg, if he goes straight to my clit, I'm like, not going to happen because I'm not aroused. I'm not sensitive there yet. And it's actually too much. Like if you go straight to the clit and I'm not turned on, I'm like, I'm immediately in my head because I'm trying to like de-arouse myself a little bit. Like I'm like over aroused and not ready for it. I'm like, okay, like this isn't going to work. So for me now it's like, no, I want the inner labia massage first and outer labia massage. And it's like, you know, if you just understand the anatomy of the clit, I was going to say, do you have a 3D model of a clit? I've seen a bunch of instructors that have them and I'm like, I'm desperate for a 3D model of a clit.
I've only got, I've got my vulva cushion.
That's amazing. But, so like,
it's amazing.
The clit is like, it kind of looks to me, the anatomy on the inside of the vagina looks like two balls. Essentially, I'm like, the clit has testicles. It's just that they're internal. So you can massage them. And that blew my mind. And so when I started playing with massaging the clit through the external part of my, like, it's like not even my labia, it's like outside. I was like, oh, that feels fucking great.
Yeah, the clitoral legs. Yeah. So you can access the clitoral legs like at the top, either side of your clitoris, like and stroking down and up and massaging in there. Absolutely. And honestly, okay, so if you haven't seen it, if you have not seen this picture of the clitoris, like Google it or, you know, YouTube it or something, because I remember sending my client, I'm like, have you seen a clitoris before? Like, do you know it has like little legs? And she's like, what? And I sent it to her and she's like, how did I not know this? Like, she's like, I'm sending this to all my friends because this is like next level. Why didn't anyone show me what a clit looked like? And I'm like, yeah, it's not a button.
Well, that's the thing as well with men's anatomy. It's like, we've got the matching pieces. It's just organized differently. So it's like the head of the penis is the head of the clit, but we spend a lot of time on the shaft and on the balls. But yet for us, it's like, I think, you know, we've got a lot of that internal and the actual like entrance of the vagina is there's less nerve endings because we have to give birth that way. But so it's like, it's just the same parts, just different location. And so when you can kind of figure that out, it gives you a lot more to explore with and play with.
Yeah. And it becomes so fun. It's like, oh, I'm going to try like here and see what this does, or I'm going to try this and see what this does. And I'm not going to just do the same thing every single time, you know, even with like my partner, Lou, I'm like, oh, I'm going to try this. So I'm going to try like going down on you sideways. It's like, see what that feels like, or upside down, or I don't know, because you just don't know until you try it. And then it becomes like, oh, I made a new discovery today. Like I found out that this is good. And of course you do the same thing sometimes and that's totally okay as well. Like, you know, we get into the same kind of patterns, but it just becomes so fun when you can kind of play in and around and out. And I was going to say before, when you're talking about different strokes and nipple sensitivity and stuff, if people listening haven't done the erotic blueprint quiz, did you watch that Sex, Love & Goop show ages ago?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. So
all right, on I Netflix, got homework.
You know, like, yeah, like Gwyneth Paltrow, I mean, you know, we whatever you think of her. However, the show is great. So it's called Sex, Love and Goop on Netflix. And Jaya, who's an amazing sexologist, sex coach, tantra kind of trained woman, but she's phenomenal. And on that show, she goes through different people's blueprints of how they like to receive pleasure. And she shows this amazing relationship between a penis, yeah, like a man and a woman, I guess, and they're married. And she's like, I don't like sex, you know, I hate it, blah, blah, blah. And she discovers that she's like an energetic blueprint, I think. Mm-hmm. So they have this amazing scene where the husband's like just holding his hand above her body and like, you know, around her vulva. And she's just like convulsing. Like she has like multiple orgasms. It's freaking amazing. So if you haven't already, go and watch the show. And if you haven't done the quiz, you can just Google it. Erotic Blueprint Quiz by Jaya. J-A-I-Y-A. And again, that gives you a new level of stuff to play with. And I feel like with the women that I've been playing with over the last couple of years, we have been playing more with that energetic, sensual energy. And it's pretty wild if you do want to really get nerdy and get like a little bit more, you know, things to play with, as if we haven't talked about enough things on this show so far, but it can really take things like next level when you know what their blueprint is and you know what yours is, and you can kind of start to play a bit more in those spaces. It becomes like pretty wild.
Yeah. And I guess like, it's like, I guess it all comes back to, you know, it's not about you. It's actually about them. So stop worrying about your shit. Like, you don't have to impress anybody. You don't have to be, like we said, you're not a fucking wizard. Like, you actually just want them to have something really, like, enjoyable. And you could just give them a massage, and that's mm-hmm. erotic. That's sensual. That's amazing. Or it could become something totally about what you're talking about, where it's energy, or it could just be like, you know, some penetration and toys. It's like, it's actually, you know, you're giving something. You're giving something, and it's, and make it about them. And I think that that can help you rid yourself of the trappings of your ego or sensitivity or fear, you know, and your, you know, what it's all insecurities, right? It's like, how do I escape them? It's like, well, prioritize their pleasure over yours, and let your, you know, it's like virtue over happiness. It's like, be the kind of person that you would want to sleep with. So I think
it's I love that. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be the kind of person that you would want to sleep with. I freaking love that. I'm gonna take that.
So yeah. So I think it's so funny. I think we can overthink it. And it's just that, you know, for girls coming into playing with girls for the first time, I think it is new. And even like you said, it's like, I've had a vagina my whole life, and I've had lots of people eat me out or fuck me. And I'm like, how do I do this to another woman? And it was just like totally new territory. But I think it's actually an opportunity to do it differently and to not play into what you think the rules are or what's supposed to happen or, you know, like assume knowledge. Don't ever assume knowledge, and go in and ask questions and be really brave and vulnerable and just be like, you know what? I'm going to fucking put myself out there, and I'm just going to ask as many questions as I can, and just know that like you are safe. Like, you're going to be okay. Nothing really bad is going to happen. Like, really.
No, exactly. Well, as long as you have strong boundaries and you have consent, you know, like that's really like the main things that you need, and then like let the rest just flow. Like you said, nothing bad's going to happen if you just give feedback and talk about it, and don't stress and just actually be present. I mean, that's where the magic is, and you don't even need to have any toys. Like, I could recommend like 1,000 toys, but you don't even need to have toys. You can just use your hands and your body, and that can be like so enough. So I think it's just about enjoying it. Like, it's meant to be fun, everyone.
It is.
Sex is meant to be fun. Like,
it's just meant to be a good time. Like, laugh, have fun.
We forget this.
It can be really relaxed.
We forget, right? Like, sex is such a chore. Like, I've got to do that. Da 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 da. It's like, make it work for you. Like, you know, make it work for you, and then you'll start to enjoy it more.
Yeah, be shameless, right? Just go in and like, fuck it. It doesn't matter how I look. Just go have fun.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And
I recorded it. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I recorded a girl and girl play masterclass, like probably earlier. Yeah, earlier this year. So that I talk a little bit more about exact kind of techniques and toys and things that you need to kind of know before you start. So if people do want that, they can just reach out and let me know as well.
Okay, cool. Amazing. Perfect. Yeah. That's a brilliant resource. That might actually be the perfect end to our chat. It's a perfect way to wrap it up. And then if people want to go further, you've got stuff on Netflix to watch, you've got books, and you've got a course. So obviously
just homework.
A world of knowledge. Thank you, Sandra. That was really, really awesome.
You're welcome.
Yay.
My pleasure.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. See you guys.
Bye.
All right, my computer was just really slow for a second there. We're going to trim.